Hi, this is Pam Brown.
I'm Ann Diver Stamness, and this is Chronologically Gifted, Conversations on Life After 50.
In celebration of the fourth anniversary of our show, we are airing some of our favorites from the past few years.
Our guest today is Ann Karpf. Ann is a writer, sociologist, and award-winning journalist who teaches at London Metropolitan University. Ann has written a number of books, including How to Age, and is on the phone with us from England. Welcome to Chronologically Gifted, Anne.
Thank you very much for having me.
You note in your book that there is a deep fear of aging in Western culture today. To what do you attribute this fear?
Gosh, you start with the biggest questions, don't you? I think it really many, many different factors all converging. From what we can tell, looking historically, both in the US and the UK and elsewhere in Western cultures, it may and probably has had something to do with so-called modernization and industrialization. So there was a shift that occurred, and particularly in the nature of the fact that people become valued much more for being economically productive. I mean, there are some fascinating bits of information that have emerged through the research. So that, you know, in the 18th century, for example, in the early 19th century, people tried to make themselves look older than they were because older connoted authority, expertise, attracted respect. And this started to shift in the early period of industrialization and modernization. There was a switch occurred, and certainly it's one we've seen accelerated in my own lifetime. I'm 66, and certainly the idea, the fetishization of youth has changed enormously and led to a tremendous fear of aging. So that even when I was a kid, you know, young people aspired really to look older than they were until the kind of emergence of youth culture in the 1960s. And that began to change things. And then the WHO famously said, "Hope I die before I get old." And there was that yippie slogan, "Never trust anyone over the age of 30. So I think, you know, there were many, many different factors, partly to do with modernization and industrialization, accelerated by the youth culture of the 1960s.
How do the aging experiences of men and women in Western culture differ, and why?
Aging is a very gendered process for most of us in Western cultures for a number of reasons. I mean, partly because women have been valued for their ability to produce children, but apart from that, largely for their appearance. If you combine that with the love affair with youth, any signs of aging are very stigmatized. There's a kind of discourse of repulsion around particularly the aging female body. Now, up till recently, men who are valued much more for what they do than how they appear, this wasn't the case for men. Now, things have begun to change over the last, I would say, 10 years or so, since the labor market has become much more unstable. Men are, for example, taking to and having far more surgical procedures to make themselves look younger. Their gray-haired men are dyeing their hair more. So, you know, late industrial capitalist societies are, in a curious way, quite egalitarian in the sense that they make everyone feel insecure. Everyone, perhaps, except the very rich. And so I think this kind of anxiety about aging, which up till now was really focused particularly on women, is now spreading to men more and more. And there are a lot of surveys and statistics emerging that show that men are getting increasingly anxious about the aging process. I'm not sure whether we should say, "See how you feel now," to men, or say, you know, "This sucks for men and women."
You wrote that we have to learn to recognize and name the rampant gerontophobia that we've come to take for granted in order to constantly challenge it. What are the first steps in that process?
It is interesting. There is such a degree of age shame and age shaming that goes on in both our countries. And it's just appalling, the horrible things that are said about old women, but old men as well. And I think we really have got to call them out. Let me give you a few examples about how you should challenge age stereotypes. I always say, if I'm buying some cosmetic product, I don't like buying products that say anti-age on them. You know, I'm pro-age. You know, in my local cinema, they have special afternoon, cheaper screenings for old people when they give them tea and biscuits. And I always joke and say, first of all, why not a little nip of whiskey or brandy? But also, why just for old people? What about young, unemployed people? Surely they would benefit from those cheaper screenings. So I think one of the things is really challenging the language, protesting when people make comments or make ageist comments, because we internalize that kind of language and we turn it back on ourselves. And that's the most pernicious form of ageism, the one that you impose upon yourself. For example, people think of old age as entirely around loss, what I call the deficit model, all in terms of your disabilities and not any strengthening of your abilities. So I give the example of my younger daughter, who, when she left school 3 years ago, absolutely terrified about the next step and having to do some mourning because she would no longer have that very containing unit of the school and the family. Even if you're fighting against it, you're still contained by it. So in order to free her to go on to the next step and make full use of it, she had to do some mourning. And that is what we have to do at every stage of the life cycle. It's not particular to us as we age. And so I think when people say, oh, aging is about loss, and you have to get used to the fact that there are things you can't do, yes, you do, but you have to do that throughout life. And there are certain things you can do better when you age. So I don't want to idealize aging. It's got its hard parts as well as its enriching parts. But then I think every stage of the life cycle has that.
That's such a wonderfully positive and uplifting note on which to end the interview. And I want to thank you so much for taking the time out of your very busy day to talk to us today.
It's an absolute pleasure. What a wonderful idea for a program. I wish we had something equivalent in the UK.
That's all the time we have for today's show. Annie is our editor and engineer.
Tune in next Thursday to Chronologically Gifted, Conversations on Life After 50. For more information, past shows, and the links to our podcasts, email, and Facebook group, go to our website at chronologicallygifted.org.
I'm Pam.
And I'm Annie. Thanks so much for listening.
We'll be here next week and hope you will be too.